And today I would like us to continue as we move again into the Word of God, to come to an understanding of just who God is, what He expects from us, and to grow in the foundations that He has laid before the beginning of time, but that He revealed to us through His Word, apportioning it a portion at a time, because we could not stand under it all at one time. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, and we are going to begin Acts 17, and we are going to begin once again looking at the master outlines, and this master outline is speaking of repentance, the importance of, because it is an extremely important part of who we are, and why is what we're going to find out. We're going to be in Acts chapter 17, we're going to begin in the 24th verse, and we're going to go through verse 31. So if you would, open your scriptures there and follow with me as we come to the reading of the Word and the blessings of our lives. From the 24th verse, the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, we read these words. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human hands as if He needs anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him from the dead. Blessed be the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we read this scripture, we come to the reality, how important is repentance? God says in the Word that He would that every man repent everywhere. He now commands all people to repent. It is a command of God. Is it a holy suggestion? No. Is it a happy want to? No. It is a command. It is something that God brings forward and expects from each and every one of us. Because in the commands, God tells us, thou shalt or thou shalt not. And so many of us don't understand the word no. All right? We kind of, you know, when you were young, I know I used to do this, we would go to mom and mom would say no. So we would run to dad, and dad would say, well, what did your mother tell you? So we would try to convince dad that, oh, we didn't ask mom yet. What do you think? Well, we'll see. Boy, if you could get one of them to say maybe, right? There was your in. And we played them one against the other. Well, the reality is we only have one father. There's only one heavenly parent. And God says, this you must do. This is a command. There's no way around it. Without repentance, please write this down. Without repentance, there is no remission of sin. Without repentance, there is no remission of sin. All right? Jesus poured out His blood, and the scripture is very clear on this. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sins. That is truth. That does not change. Jesus poured out His blood, His eternal blood, that we may have eternal life. for the blood of bulls and lambs was only temporary. It only lasted until you sinned again. Jesus Christ's blood cleanses us from all sin. However, there's a second part to that. And our world wants to cast the second part out. And we cannot in Christ Jesus. Because without repentance, the blood has no avail to you. How do I know that? Because Jesus spoke it himself. Turn in your Bibles to Luke in the 13th chapter. We're going to the book of Luke, in chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. The importance of a scripture is truly shown to us, not because of punctuation after it, but because of the number of times it's spoken. All right? If God thinks something is important, he's going to tell us once. If it's very important, he's going to tell us twice. If it's so important that we have to get it, he's going to tell us 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. All right? The more times he tells us, the more important it is. And if you look up the word repentance or repent and find the number of times that it's in here, it's not just in the New Testament. It's also in the Old Testament. And we're actually going to be looking at an Old Testament verse because I want you to see that this is not new. All right? But from the words of Jesus himself, from the book of Luke, it says, "Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. Now get this, but unless you repent, you too will perish.'" Jesus did not say there, what? "Lest you believe in me." He said, "Lest you too repent." It starts with repentance. Because the cross has no avail without repentance. It is something you and I need to understand. It's something our world needs to understand and has thrown away. Because they've been told, "Oh, don't worry about it. God washes away all sin. You don't have to have a changing of heart." The heart has to change. Because without a change of heart, Christ himself is not in your heart. Amen? Because God cannot occupy the same place as darkness. A house divided will not stand. Does he not say that? A house divided will not stand. And we need to understand this is exactly what he's talking about. God has told us here. How important is it? It's so important I'm commanding it. Jesus said it's so important I'm telling you about it before the cross. That you must repent. Remember, John came preparing the way for Christ. So what came first? The cross or repentance? Repentance came first. How far in advance did repentance come? Well, let's see what he has to say. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Ezekiel, chapter 33. We're going to be in verses 12 through 16. The book of Ezekiel, in the 33rd chapter, in the 12th verse. I'll wait a little bit because that's Old Testament and some of us have to look to the front to find out where Ezekiel lays in there. That's all right. This is one of those reasons why Mr. Dan has the challenge out there, so you'll know where they fall in line in the book. Here we go. From the 12th verse, the 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we read these words. "Therefore, son of man, say to your countrymen, the righteousness of the righteous... the righteousness of the righteous man will not save him when he disobeys, and the wickedness of the wicked man will not cause him to fall when he turns from it. The righteous man, if he sins, will not be allowed to live because of his former righteousness. If I tell the righteous man that he will surely live, but then he trusts in his righteousness and does evil, none of the righteous things he has done will be remembered. He will die for the evil he has done. And if I say to the wicked man, you will surely die, but he then turns away from his sin and does what is just and right, if he gives back what he took in pledge for a loan, returns what he has stolen, follows the decrees that give life, and does no evil, he will surely live. He will not die. None of the sins he has committed will be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He will surely live. That's prior to the cross of Jesus Christ. That's under law, all right? God wanted the people of Israel to repent of their sin, to use the sacrificial system to cleanse them once and for all, and then continue on without sinning. However, they began to use the sacrificial system as a way of means. Rather than living a holy life, rather than living a life of repentance unto the Lord, they lived a life unto the sacrificial system. God never intended that. He says, I hate your new moon festivals and your sacrifices, declareth the Lord. And we need to understand that there is no more sacrifice for sin. There is only one. And that one sacrifice for sin is Jesus Christ our Lord. We cannot put him back on the cross again. He went there once. So we must continue to walk in repentance. We must continue to walk in the reality that we are sinners saved by grace. And as we truly turn from that sin, the righteousness of Christ is availed to us through the cross, the forgiveness of sin through the cross, because we have turned from it. One of the things that I hate as a pastor is when I talk to people and they tell me, oh, yes, I'm a Christian, and I look at their lives and I say, yeah, but you're doing this. Oh, I was told that's okay because Jesus covers it all. Jesus covers it all if you don't continue walking in it, okay? We need to be very careful about what we say and what we believe, okay? There are a lot of false teachers out there, and I'm going to tell you all right now, you know yourselves, I have said this. If what I am telling you isn't right, if what I am telling you does not line up with Scripture, you call me on it. Miss Marion, has that happened recently? Yes, it has. Pastor made a comment, not thinking, not looking back, not studying. I just pulled it out of my head and said this and realized, uh-oh, I said the wrong name. Okay? I got the wrong person. In fact, I did that last week, didn't I? I was talking about Isaiah, and it wasn't Isaiah, it was Elijah. That's because I was out here not looking at my notes. My notes had the right thing. But when I trusted on my own self, I couldn't bring it to be. I have got to stay in the Word and the Word in me. Amen. And that Word says that we must repent. We must come unto repentance. And then in repentance, we can come unto the cross of Jesus Christ. And the cross availeth for us. For we have turned from our sins. Now, I'm going to tell you all right now. Brother David already taught this. Repentance doesn't come from us. Who does repentance come from? It comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sins. Okay? And in that conviction, we recognize God working on us, and it doesn't chase us away. It actually draws us to the cross because it is that place of forgiveness. And therefore, we can turn from the sin, receiving the full forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But it begins with that repentance. It begins with that turning and doing something new. Doing something right. Something outside of ourselves, which comes only from God. When Paul was talking to the Corinthian people, they were walking in sin. Okay? And this, if you want to look it up, I'm not going to go there. This is in 2 Corinthians 7 and 9. The people in Corinth had been walking in sin. Sin had come in among them, and there was all kinds of sin in that church. And Paul went to them, and they literally cast him out. So then he went back, and he wrote a scathing letter, which we don't even have. I'd love to have that letter, because as a pastor, I'd like to be able to say the things he said to the church. But God doesn't give us that letter because he doesn't want us to beat up on each other, right? He wants us to love each other. But that church got so rebuked that they were cut to the heart. And Paul said, well, you deserve it. No, he didn't. Paul rejoiced in the fact that they had repented and had turned back to the way of Jesus Christ. And that is something I need you to hear. Because so many people walk in shame. They think, oh, I can't, my goodness, God will never forgive me. I'm such a miserable person. And how could he ever forgive me for what I've done? Whoa. Turn from it. That's all you have to do. That's called repent. Turn from it. Don't do it anymore. And walk in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But we have confused so many people in the church with all the different false teachings that are out here. I think about the people who are out there right now in this world committing sin every day, committing sin every day, committing sin every day, and they're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? And they say, oh, but my pastor says, I don't care what your pastor says. And yes, you just heard your pastor say that. Because if I'm wrong, you don't listen to me. All right? It's that simple. If it does not line up with the Word of God, it's not the Word of God. It's the Word of men. And it is going to lead you straight to hell. That's truth. Okay? That I will give you. That is from me. All right? And that's probably one of the few truths that you ever want to accept from me. The rest of them have to come out of God's Word. Amen? Because they have to come out of there for me too. And if we can walk in them, you're not walking in my truth then, you're walking in his truth. How important is repentance? How important is repentance? Well, I've just showed you that it's a command. I've just showed you that the Apostle Paul rejoiced when a whole church turned and repented of their ways. They cast the man out who was in sin, and God began to bless that church again. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, spoke to seven churches, and he told the seven churches, every one of the churches, he told them that they needed to repent. Okay, read it. He told every one of them that they needed to repent. They needed to turn back to their first love. That's to repent, to turn from. Okay? There are so many places in Scripture that it talks about repentance. How important is repentance? Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And I have to confess something to each and every one of you. When God brought me to the place of calling me as a pastor, one of the things that he did was he used the book of Hebrews in my life to teach me about himself and about God, about his son, Jesus Christ. And this book of the Bible holds so much for me as I look at my life and how God has led me into the reality of his truth. Because the book of Hebrews truly spells out the holiness of God. The book of Hebrews truly spells out for us the way we need to be as a people. Yes, it was written to the Hebrews because they were Jewish. They had the traditions of men, and he was bringing the fullness of God back into their reality because God had given it to them on Mount Sinai. God had given it to them through Moses, but over the centuries, they perverted it into something of men. And here he's calling it back, and he's calling us back to it also with the book of Hebrews. How important is repentance? From the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, let us begin in verse 26, and we're going to read through 31. Beginning in verse 26, and we're going to read through verses 31. Hear ye the word of the Lord. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What does that speak? Now, I think it's funny because how many people, when they read the scripture, say, what does the Bible speak to you? I don't care what it speaks to you. I care what it speaks. What does it say? I don't care what you think. All right? We all know how to read. We all know how to define words. And we all know how to twist them to the way we want them to be. How many times have you heard somebody say something, you know I'm guilty of this. When I was a kid, my parents would tell me something, and I would do half of what they told me. Oh, but I did what you told me to do. No, you didn't. You did this much of it. Where's the rest of it? Oh, well, I didn't hear that. We're all guilty of it. The scripture here is very clear. It says that if there's no turning in our lives, if there is this constant going back to this sin, if we have not repented, and repenting means what? To turn from, and we're constantly going back to this sin, there is no more sacrifice for sin. Now, let me ask you, how many sacrifices for sin are there? One. And if there's no more sacrifice for sin, are you getting in? No. I didn't write this book. If I did, there'd be all kinds of escape clauses, wouldn't there? God wrote it. It's His word. And we need to live by it. This is a command. This is how important a command is. There's no way around it. This is a have-to thing, folks. We must come to repentance. Because if we don't, we have trampled underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Do you catch that out of this? You better, because that's what it's saying. Now, there's a bunch of you out there right now saying to me, oh my God, I'm going to hell. Are you still working at it? How many of you out there right now got it perfect? Aren't you glad I do? That even makes me laugh. All right, Rudd. None of us are perfect. But what God cares about is, are we working on it? Are we confronting ourselves with our sin? Are we coming before the Lord truly with longing in our hearts, knowing that you know, and I got to say this, I want you to think about it. How many of you people constantly find yourselves falling to the same sin time and time again? It happens, doesn't it? Because we become creatures of habit. We become creatures, I am so glad I can put him to sleep. One of our little ones over here crashed. That's so cool. Of course, when he gets older, I won't accept it. But when we walk in that fullness of Jesus Christ, when we walk in that repentance, I forgot where I was there now. I shouldn't have done that deliberately. When we walk in that fullness of Jesus Christ, when we walk in that forgiveness, when we walk in Him, He changes who we are. But when we accept our own sin and simply say, oh, well, you know, I don't have to work on it, you've just null and voided the cross of Jesus Christ. Are you working on it? That's what God cares about, right? He says, this is His words, the heart that is willing is acceptable unto me. What? Does that mean we have to get it right? Does that mean that we have to be perfect? No. That means that we have to be willing. The heart that is willing, the heart that is malleable, the heart that recognizes its sin, the heart that says, what I'm doing is a horrible thing, Lord, help me change. But I want you to remember something. Does He take away all our sin, even when we repent of it? This is a trick question. The answer is no. How do I know that? Well, how many of you remember Paul? He prayed unto the Lord three times, take this sin away from me, take this sin away from me, take this sin away from me. And God said, I'll have no more of it. God had to give Paul a thorn in his flesh to keep him humble, to keep him human, to keep him at the place of realizing that he needed God every day. Because without that reality, we become God ourselves. And we need God in our lives every day. And he's going to let you have some of your stuff. He's going to let you falter because he knows you need him. And if you don't need him, if you come to the point of saying, I'm perfect, you're literally going to hell, aren't you? God is not going to take away every sin. God's going to take away some of them. I can attest to that. He will take away drug addiction. He will take away alcoholism in my life. Is he going to do that for you? I don't know. But what I do know is as you commit your life unto him and as you walk in repentance, he's going to give you the strength day by day to get through that day. Now, does that mean you might not falter? No. Because you are a fallen human being. You are stuck in this flesh. And this flesh is cursed. This flesh is going to die. That's why God gives us a new body when we are resurrected. For in that day, we will be changed and we will be perfect. And we will no longer sin. I cannot wait until that day when I can stand before my Lord and Savior and never sin again. Never have anything to be ashamed of before him again. Not one iota of darkness in me. That I can look full in his face and live. For if I were to look full in his face today, I would surely die. For he would consume that darkness in me, and it would consume me. Because this flesh is sinful. I can't wait until it's sin empty. But in order to get to that day, you and I need to remember just how important repentance is. For without it, there is no forgiveness of sins. So today I pray that you with me will walk in that reality, will turn our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, and will gain from him that true sense of purity, even though we walk in sin today. In spirit, we are walking in a righteousness that is not our own. Amen. And in that, we have our hope and we have our being. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we come before you as your children. And Lord, we just simply ask that you continue to walk in and with us, to strengthen us in all ways and always. For Lord, we know that we cannot make it alone. But as we truly, truly listen to your Holy Spirit and repent of the things in our lives that we need to repent thereof, that you walk in, you enter in, and you give us the hope of glory. Lord, none of us are perfect, and I don't want anybody here to hear that it's an excuse to keep falling. But Lord, we know that when we fall, you are right there, and we thank you for it. For the heart that is willing is acceptable and pleasing unto thee, O Lord. May our hearts be found just as such, that we will always hold fast to the cross of Christ and turn from the wrong and turn to the right. For this we pray thee in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the church said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.